David says in fifth.
Very good. It's being recorded, and this is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're gathering tonight once again to study the book, The American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. Is Susan on?
David, she may be on, but she has lost her earpiece, so she's asked me to read from the log as comments are made.
She's online, but she can't speak.
She's having to hold her phone with one hand, and she says that's difficult for her.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
If she finds it, well, that's her. I'll back up.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about earlier, when I'm sitting here preparing for the class, we are so far into the unknown planes of normal human existence that I have this terror in my gut every time I come to this class thinking, what can I possibly say tonight? I mean, we're venturing, listen to this now, we're venturing off the beaten path. There's no question about that. But here's what's unique about it. What's unique about it, how many people are online there, Lost Horizons? 10, 15? 15 to 18 people online. And is the Path World on?
Yes.
Path World's on?
Yes.
And George is on? Susan? These are individuals, I'm not quite sure who else is on, but have been doing this. Simon might be on.
Yes.
He's been doing this several years, Ivan. Okay? We've been gathering together for several years with the effort, the intention of working together. Of working together, and there's two parts of it. One is to work together to do something. Right now we're working together to study a book. But the other thing is the dedication and the intent to work together toward the invocation of being in presence with a like-minded group of individuals. And that's a phrase that I've heard you use many times, Silverdale, like-minded individuals who are willing to come together for higher purposes. So we're building up a track record together. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like-minded individuals, and we're doing it together, and our intent is internal in nature. We're creating, trying to create a footprint that starts from the inner rather than from the outer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, because all of our life, as George has told us over the years, human biological machine is called, you know, it's our historical personality. And is Susan, did I hear you speaking there a little bit? I'm not sure if she's on or not.
No, I'm here.
Okay, there she is.
I'm here.
Good. And we learn how to go about our lives. We're these wonderful, beautiful brand gave us all a choice of looking at, and brand new beings that come on with eyes wide open, and we have nothing but lovely trust in our parents, sisters, and our aunts and our uncles. When they tell us how to do something, we go, okay, I guess so. Right?
Right.
Yeah, I'll give that a shot.
Children.
I'll give that a shot.
Yeah.
And you work on it, and then you go, I don't know, but it seems to work for him or her because they're alive, right? They made it this far. And so we develop a historical personality that is profoundly powerful and has a profound karmic end that it has, a profound sense of energy going in a different direction. And then here we are, these individuals saying, you know what, maybe there's a different way to look at this whole thing. maybe we can just flip that a little bit. But we're not saying let's flip it a little bit. We're saying let's flip it fundamentally. All right? Now, we're reading the American Book of the Dead right now. And there's two ways to look at it. One is, and this is the way that most of us are used to doing it, we read for somebody who's passed away or is in trauma or something like that, right? And we've done that. Many of us have done it, or some of you would like to do it. And Star and Nanda, I think, is still giving a class on Sundays and instructing how to do that, which is a whole discipline itself. But what I'm saying is, right now, I think some of the people have started to maybe read for each other. Is that the possibility?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read for somebody, with somebody?
No, I'm still working.
You're about
getting
to work.
The appointment.
Did you do that, Tamara?
With
Did you read with Melissa, maybe?
No, Mark. To me.
Mark. Yeah, Mark. And so, but when I'm reading through the book, where I am standing right now, I'm reading for myself, okay? I'm reading this material for myself because I am the voyager. I'm reading for the voyager, and I am endeavoring to become the voyager. When I read the material, and this is inspired material that's been written, and we talked about this in the first two classes, Padmasambhava declared this like 1,200 years ago or so, almost 1,300 years ago, and placed it available for mankind, and then there's a whole history of it. And then I say it was reinvigorated poorly by Evan Wentz in the early 20s. But he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He brought it forth. There's no question about it.
Right.
And then there was a great effort by Trungpa and Fremantle to bring it forth yet again. And then in the 70s, we had an individual that stood up and says, you know what? Well, he did it later.
Well,
yeah.
So did Trungpa and Fremantle. You know that the reason that E.J. Created this American Book of the Dead was that there was only Evans Wentz at that time, and there was one other book related to this, which was by Timothy Leary.
Timothy Leary.
Which was about, what was it called? It wasn't called anything to do with the Bardo Tadal. It was called The Psychedelic Experience.
And I actually have a copy of that.
You know.
and Leary wrote it with two other individuals, and I can't remember who it was right now, but they wrote it specifically for The Psychedelic Experience. And
yeah.
This is when Jung, when he read Evan Wentz, was blown away and said, this is a good description of the psychological. These guys were saying, you know what? This is what's happening now. This is what's happening right now. And then in the 70s, EJ said, you know what, I was born in the Western society.
Yeah, right. Culture.
I happen to be an American. I don't mean that. I'm a Western European bred and raised individual, literally in the Judeo-Christian. And so he read it, he says, you know what, all that stuff about these specific names of the Tibetan, blah, 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 doesn't work for me. And actually rewrote it. And rewrote it in a way that's accessible to us as individuals. So my point is this. When we read this material, I want to think in terms of translating it into, I'm reading for myself as the Voyager right now. Okay. And this is what's happening in my day today. Now, I was asked, did anybody read for me or with me? And I have had that experience in years past. And I know that there are some chambers that I'm going to want to do that specifically with, you know, later on, but not quite yet. Because I understand those particular chambers. Where we are now is in the introduction to the second stage. All right. Let me preface it just a little bit. What's happened is that the individual has died. The body has died. What that means is that there's no brain activity, and for the Tibetans and those guys, about 72 hours later, the soul, the spirit, whatever it is, has now begun to depart, and actually departed. And then another set of readings begin, and it says, okay, now I am in the second stage. Now, here's my question to you, and I'm going to take some time, and I know it's going to be hard, but I'm looking to get some answers here. I've already thought about it, but I'm looking to see what you think about it. Okay, I want you to open your hymnals to this particular reading that we're on now, which is called, not the fourth chamber.
First apparitions?
No. Right where we, I'm sorry, Ivan.
The second stage of the voyage, David.
My brain was on exactly what Harry just said, the second stage of the voyage in the macro dimension of the labyrinth.
Page 83 in the 25th edition.
Okay, page 83.
And 75.
75 in the
30th.
Okay, so what I want to do is let's pretend for a second. Just pretend for a second and attempt to do this because you're here among friends, okay? You're among with individuals who have worked very hard to be in this position. I'd like you to just suspend belief for a moment and suspend belief and say that this is, you are now doing this. Not that you're reading to somebody, something like that. This is actually occurring. This is the stage in which the labyrinth visions begin. This is an okay. What if, but think about that. Pause and be and just know that that's where you are right now. This is the stage where the labyrinth visions begin. This stage right now. Okay? During the first phases of dissolution, primate consciousness. So now the body is left and the consciousness is, there's a disengagement with the human primate consciousness. Now, as my voyager's attention begins to free, becomes free of occlusion and identification, because the human body, so now, who am I reading to? I'm reading for myself here. Not because I'm dying, because I'm showing myself that my voyager's attention, what will it take for me to free my voyager's attention from the grip of the human biological machine? Does this make sense? So now, free your attention, become the voyager, right this second, become the voyager, because we're here with individuals that are working to do that. This is a pragmatic work. It's a form of work that takes place together, and it's a small little step. So I will see the clear light of the void manifesting as the face of the beloved. Can you sit there for a second with that? There you go. Good. Feel that? So that's where you are right now. We're in the second stage, all right? We're in the second stage, preparing for the first apparition, and it's the clear light is about us and above us and around us, and it's saying that the beloved, it's the face of the beloved, and you've got to remember that, because the face of the beloved is instructing us and it's with us. Remember, we talked about Dante, Beatrice, guided Dante into the
Paradiso.
It had to be Beatrice. We won't go into that, but it did. It had to be Beatrice. That's the face of his beloved, and there's a beautiful, when he's talking about Beatrice, the beloved comes then at that point. Can you be in that space right now? Can you be there just for a moment? Just touch it. Not pretend. Not don't imagine it. Be there in that moment. Even though I must have missed the primary and second clear light, or I wouldn't be hearing these instructions. We need the instructions, but the instructions are for the here and now. When you go to Rayleigh's shop, or you go to your local health food store, or you go to the diner to get your late breakfast or lunch, that's when you are in, knowing that you are in the secondary clear light. Spontaneous liberation is still possible, though I may have down spiraled. It becomes progressively less probable in this second stage. Now then he goes on, skipping ahead just a little bit, strange, awesome, and frightening sounds, lights and radiation assail me. Think of that for a minute. When you go by your day, you go through your day, and I know that there are some people, this is how they live their life. They are unprotected from this, as they unwittingly stand in the moment of the Voyager. They are the Voyager. And what do we do when we are assailed? What do we do when we're assailed by something?
Usually close up, defend.
You retreat. Where do you retreat if you're a Voyager in this particular context?
To the body.
We're not quite going to the six dimensions, but fatigue, terror, exhaustion are some of the reactions I might feel. And then what does it say? But if I relax, these reactions will pass. Silverdale, I don't know when it was, but you and I had a whole series of conversations about relaxing and the practice of relaxing. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, and it's incredibly incredibly important to develop the habit of being able to relax ourselves regardless of what we happen to be doing. One thing to relax while you're laying down in a state of meditation or sitting in a state of meditation, but can you relax while you're actually talking to somebody or engaged in some other kind of activity?
So
relax both the physical body and the mind. The monologue or dialogue in the brain.
So when we are... Somebody needs to turn their mic down on the computer if you're on the phone. And so...
I have a comment too.
Go ahead.
Well, I just remember when I rolled my car down the cliff. There was a very great sense of calm that took over.
Yeah. So with this particular stage of the labyrinth, the Voyager is saying, I am going to be assailed. But if I relax, so it's a practice that we do as we move into the various aspects of the labyrinth now, as we're Voyagers, and as we stand in the moment of the Voyager, and we are going to be assailed. It is simple as that. That does occur. How do I know that? It says it right here. Okay? I'm just pointing to it. It says it right here. I will be assailed. Do you not know that? Of course you know it.
There should be, I would think that many of us, if not all of us, feel a sense of recognition or great familiarity with these descriptions, you know, with the spaces described here. I mean, that was my first reaction. You want it closer? Yeah, all right. That was my first reaction to the American Book of the Dead in the 70s. I mean, you know, when E.J. first presented this text, I mean, yeah, my reaction to it was, oh wow, this is like recognition. You know, it seemed familiar.
So what I'm proposing here is that we bring this into our everyday life. It's not for the special time when I'm reading for somebody. Not for the special time when I'm studying the book late at night. Or it's tomorrow when you get up and you got to go to work. What really happened at work, you know? They don't do that where I go to work.
Well,
wait a minute. Let's see what it says again. Frightening sounds, lights, and radiations assail me. If you retreat into the human biological machine, you know what to do. You know how to survive that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're all experienced players here. We can get along in life pretty good. No problem. Right? But as a voyager, you're more delicate. There's no question about it. I'm not pretending that that isn't the case. But let's practice this concept of, you know, but if I relax, what if you relax for a moment when something's occurring? I have numerous examples of in a situation, I'm talking on the job type situations where I actively am working to be in that space called if I relax, and the space changes. And it's not so much that I change the space, it's not that, that's not what I'm talking about. It's that it gives the individuals there a finger. Does that make sense, Susan? Gives them a reminder of how they can be in that different space.
Well, it gives them a reminder, and it gives them a vibration to bounce off of.
It gives them a marker. Remember we talked about, when we were doing the HVM stuff, we talked about the markers on the trail, the Karen stones.
Yeah, right.
You know, where... And they don't mentally know what they're responding to. They're not reading, they're responding. So we can bring that into the space, right? It's what's called being the voyager. You don't know what you're going to see as the voyager or what's going to be presented to you, but if this is giving instructions about how to walk through those spaces, okay? I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to skip the description of the six stages, and I'm going to skip ahead to about five or six paragraphs, where the paragraph starts with, "Death now has now come to the biological machine."
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me, Ivan?
Yeah.
Death has now come to the biological machine, the human primate within which I voyage through the organic world. Death comes to all forms. Everything eventually is broken down by dissolution. So there's no point clinging to yet another biological form out of desire and longing for stability or from fear and weakness. So I write that again. How then do we die to the historical personality? Tell me, how do we die to the historical personality? It's historical, and it's truly already dead, as Molly is telling us. It truly is. It's a historical personality.
Well, what's not historical? What's ahistorical? Present moment, you know, being present,
right.
Entirely present, is completely right. Ahistorical. Well, historical is time, is like a whole narrative story that's the next thing.
Well, you're
and now
right.
I'm here in the middle of all of those next things back there and all these next things that are coming up here.
And also we might say that a historical is characterized by sequential events in time and space, whereas what the essential self, where it's located, is in a spherical a spherical chamber of light and infinite extension.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So if we retreat into the stability of the historical personality, then that's what becomes real at that time. But if we can relax and develop what I call a resilience, all right? Develop a resilience to these forms which are bashing us. Sometimes they're not bashing us. Sometimes we can only see what's there when we're in the right space. And when we're in the right space, sometimes there's something that you're supposed to grab that you can grab, okay?
Well, Pat World has a comment.
Your phone is very, very loud, okay?
Okay.
There we go.
Pat World has a comment.
Go for it.
I relax by changing my breathing. If I'm dead, how do I relax as I'm not breathing?
Okay, that's a good question. First of all, you should work with the pond exercise, which is chapter 2 of Practical Work on Self. Read that. Now, what we're talking about here is two different electrical bodies. And we have the opportunity now to venture into the world of the Voyager when before the physical body has died. What was her question again exactly?
If I'm without the body, if I've died, how can I use my breath to relax?
How do I relax? Okay. Huge question, massive question that will be revealed to us as we go through the readings, but it has something to do, did you ever hear of something that we're going to be reading called the cleansing radiations? Okay, what is going to, we have to learn to, we may have fear, but don't panic. You may have fear, that's okay, but don't panic.
That's possible that you have a body of habits. You know, it's possible that you may still be able to take relaxing, cleansing breaths or whatever. But I would also like to say, yeah, a comment for Pat World is that, okay, this breathing, that works for me too because I get present. But what that breathing does is it gets me out of that, what Silverdale is calling the historical personality, all that mental chatter or conception or whatever. So, you know, it may be that if I can just not be the historical personality, not be mental, if I can relax by not being mental, then I'm doing the equivalent of looking at my breathing, concentrating on breathing. In other words, be present, be...
See, the thing...
Get away from forms. You know, what I do is like relax away from the imagery and forms that I'm thinking of.
Well, if at that point you only have attention and presence, then what is it that has to relax is your attention. And so that means to me, don't constrict.
Exactly right. You don't constrict. And... the concept of relax doesn't mean that it feels good.
That section reminds me very much of going through childhood. Like when they use the terminology, terminal midwifery.
Yeah.
It was accurate. You're in the middle of very powerful sensations. Tracking your body. You know, you can't choose not to go through it.
David, there are other comments when you're ready.
Yeah.
At one point...
Hang on 1 second.
Tamara is speaking of...
She can't be heard.
Childbirth. Give her the phone. That this is comparable to childbirth. And that's why she likes the concept of terminal midwifery.
Talk into the mic.
She is talking to the mic, but on
but
the phone they're not
hearing.
She doesn't
get the phone.
All those people don't have a
computer. They have a computer, but they have it turned down.
Hi, I'm sorry. I was saying that for me this section reminds me very much of going through childbirth. It is a process that you can't choose not to. You're overwhelmed by intense sensations, you know, one wave coming after another. There's all the feelings of fatigue and terror and exhaustion. And at one point during the transition, the midwife leaned over to me and said, "Don't think of them as contractions, think of them as expansions." And that created a shift that allowed me to and travel down the tunnel that I was seeing. And so in the same way, Pathworld, I think, as Dan was saying, that just that shift of awareness creates that profound state. It's still hard work. It still requires the full attention, but a shift happens.
That is the power of attention that you're referring to, you know, of the Voyager or the essential self.
Yeah.
It has the power of attention.
Sometimes you are, there's an enormous amount of energy, and to allow it to hit you and allow it to go through you, as we read in the pond exercise, to allow yourself to be penetrated by it. Standing in presence. Harry, go ahead with the other comments, please.
There's one from Hawk Lady. 2 days ago, I started a 31-minute Kundalini meditation, and it has been so hard. Hearing this now helps me realize how anxious I am even before starting my meditation. Reading the clear light before I start meditation should help relax.
Yeah. Well, I want to distinguish the word relax here. Okay, help me out here a little bit, everybody. It's not, I don't mean to relax and then you're in this blissful state. What I really mean is be in presence. Okay? I mean, get into the Voyager state, be in the essential self. That's what I mean. And can you hold yourself there? And these are skills and techniques to hold yourself there, which we're going to read in another paragraph. Go ahead, Harry.
One from Gnostic Man. Relaxing is letting go. Letting go of identification and attachment. There is a need to cultivate the habit of relaxation in life so it carries over death.
There's a concept of surrender. Active surrender does not mean giving up at all. Active surrender, I also use the word from time to time, acquiescence, of finding out where you are. And that's just the way it is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now bear it. And women that have gone through childbirth, they don't have a lot of choices at that time. And throughout history, women helping women get through that position understand that. Yeah, thank you, Gnostic Man. Go ahead, Harry.
There are just several comments in response to them. Silverdale thought that Gnostic Man's comments were well stated. And Simon Templar says, not only do we relax physically, but as well emotionally, mentally.
Right.
That would be a situation in the macro dimension.
Yeah, it's like a trust is what Tamara's telling us. And then to continue on, when fear, terror, or confusion overwhelm me, here's the instruction. Here is the vital secret of recognition. every thought of fear, terror, and awe aroused by visions in the labyrinth is caused within myself, because I have become identified with my own visions, lost in the swirling patterns, my own thought forms. At this important moment of liberation, I do not become caught up in the power of my own hallucinations. Whoa. I find it a lot more comfortable to blame others for what's going on around me. And this is saying something else, isn't it? Shucks.
Yeah, it's saying that you're not caught up in, in the power of somebody else's hallucinations at all.
I do not become caught up in the power of my own hallucinations. When I clear my vision, the forms will vanish back in the smooth, undifferentiated, jelly-like electrical field from which they came. Then I bring up my attention. That's the formula. I stop drifting into the vision state and all hallucination will cease. That's the indulgence. We indulge in the hallucination. What was the four lines again? What does it start with? Remember the four lines?
All phenomena is illusion.
Does it sure says all?
I thought you wanted to know how it started, so it starts out with
all phenomena? Maybe some of them. You mean not all of them?
Well,
even that neighbor, my kid next door.
Breakfast. All phenomena except for breakfast. All phenomena is illusion. Yeah, all right. She says chocolate. All right.
Okay, so we bring up my attention and we chuckle. We chuckle, and the reason we chuckle is because we understand how we have the limitations on the understanding that all phenomena is in fact illusion, and that is the truth. But can we stand there during the day when we go through the events that buffet us about, the things that we don't care for, the mechanics that are ripping us off, and the storekeeper that's doing this or that, or why didn't they have what I needed at the store, those creeps? They know I was coming in today, and so on and so forth. I mean, so what if you stood in the position of all phenomena, and then I bring up my attention?
And I stop drifting.
I bring up my attention, I stop drifting, and I stop being buffeted about. This is the practice in a nutshell that we're going to be seeing in the next chambers that we're going to be reading here. Go ahead with what Path World has to say. Here, what do you want to read it? Oh, here, they'll read it.
They can do it online, on the phone.
Harry, go ahead with Path World has a comment.
Path World says that in this sentence, now is my true nature. Says now, in this is my true nature. Be in your true nature. I'm sorry, that's the best I can read.
Now I know. Is that at the end of the clear
line? This is my true nature. Yes.
Now I know that this is my true nature. So be your true nature. Dan is telling us. So
yes.
How do you relax when you don't have a body anymore? This is the formula. I bring up my attention. I am in presence. It's a tough path. It is a difficult path. There's no question about it. But it is the only one is what Dan is telling us. It is the only path. This is the path. This is the labyrinth, the voyager, these are the bardos, but they're happening right now.
So, Piangio says, we do not see the world as it is, but as we are. This is true in both worlds.
We see the world as we are. Life is real only then when I am.
Well,
for example, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, then we want others to see the world like I see it, and we attempt to work very hard to convince them that they should be doing so. And that's where conflict starts. And then we're invested in the HBM at that point, okay?
Well,
because as soon as you do that, as Dan is telling us, that's when you admit to the, you are believing in the illusion, and you're entering into the illusion. And what we're trying to distinguish here is we're trying to drive a wedge between us two so we can see the two. Because it says all phenomena is illusion. That's in all traditions, not just this one. It's in all traditions. So if that's the case, as a voyager, I'm going to be hit by all kinds of things, but guess where they're coming from? What does it say, Ivan? I do not.
Forms will vanish back.
Yeah. I do not become caught up in the power of my own
hallucination. Yeah.
Okay? I open my vision. I allow myself to see the truth absolute, a subtle, brilliant, ungraspable mirage moving across a dazzling landscape. Nice. A never-ending swirl of electrical vibration, expanding and contracting all at once. And yet this infinite landscape is only the reflection of the face of the Beloved in my awakened consciousness. And there it is, okay? We're not alone, but we have to be in a place where we're able to see the guides. And if we're stuck in the hallucination of the HBM,
mm-hmm.
they're invisible. Why are they invisible? They don't hang out there, that's why. What I'm trying to say here is that I'd like us to practice this when you're driving to work tomorrow or you're driving to your six-month-long Kundalini class or you're stuck in traffic on the Pasadena Freeway. That's when you should be practicing this, when suddenly your body has changed from a body that is a certain form to everybody to a body that is not that form. And you look about you, what do you see? Well, you're going to see the same old thing if you look from the same old place, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying let's stand on new ground. And I have to repeat, you know, loose your shoes because you do, in fact, stand upon holy ground. And like, Salinger says, you know, from in, when he's talking about Seymour Glass is saying, I felt like I was leaping from one piece of holy ground to another. Think of being in that place. Because that writer knew about being the voyager. Because he could move no matter where he was. That's where he was at. Remember the old thing when all us hippies were growing up, the desiderata? Vaguely, he is the first hippie. I can
barely remember it.
Yeah. Stone, that's what. So, the concept here, you know, we're reading this, that's good, but the concept is to drive it into your day-to-day activities, to drive it in. I'm going to go get some gas at the gas shop over here after the class. And when I go there, I'm going to take this with me.
That's why I love the term the holy.
The holy ordinary, Tamara is telling us. Yes. But that requires a lot of work. And the holy ordinary, when it's holy, does not necessarily mean it's blissful, wonderful, and with a cherry on top. Sometimes it's tough stuff. We need to learn how to absorb the vibration of that manifestation as well. And gradually at that point, gradually as we become the Voyager, we become possessed of that knowledge base where we can stand with different sets of shoes, can begin to be of some help. Only then, I mean, you can help the little dogs if you want, and that's good. Okay?
Bigger dogs, okay.
Big dogs, okay, too. It's just that at some point, it's time for the big kids' pen. All right?
It keeps occurring to me that this book is about repetition. You know, it's about recurrence, and that somehow one of those statements that you made about this, you know, taking a stand in ordinary life, I thought you were going to say something like, "This is an opportunity that repeats over and over again to clear my vision."
Yeah.
And to, let's say, to
return to my native
state. To get away from the hallucinations. Yeah, return to my native
state. I think there's a gallery of angels
sitting
there all day long offering us the opportunity. And they're saying, come on, come on, come on, over here, waving big flags. And
that would be one way to look at it, is that over and over again, just like, well, I go through a doorway, okay, I'm in another chamber where I have the opportunity to see what's actually, you know, not to be occluded, but to see a new world that this chamber represents. Or, you know, to not have my fixed program define where I've just stepped into. What I'm looking at, who I'm meeting today.
Or in my fixed program, interpreting who I'm meeting.
Yeah, to myself. I mean, that would be my hallucination.
Here's
dreams, my visions.
Here's the other thing that will occur, and it will occur, is that when you are in the higher more and more and more, you will attract, you will notice the higher and higher, more and more around you. Does that make sense, Silverdale?
Yeah.
That's what you notice, that's what you see, and that's what is attracted to you as well.
Sure.
So jumping ahead a few paragraphs then, the body, which I seem to have at present, is called the body of habit. A form defined by customary morphological identity, taking the shape most comforting to me, and if I do nothing to escape automatic rebirth, surely also will be the shape of things to come. So the body of habits, that's our struggle. That's what we're working with, but we're working with it in real time now. And if you stand in a different stance and you stand in a different place, then what's going to happen is you have an opportunity to observe the body of habits and say, you know what, here's a different way to go. Here's a slightly different path. But this body is not of flesh and blood, and so whatever happens to me during this labyrinth voyage, whether in the form of sound, light, or radiation, mustn't be good. Resistance to my own thought forms can cause spontaneous rebirth. Oh, what is it? Let's read that again.
Right. Resistance to my own thought forms cause spontaneous rebirth, since I'm resisting myself.
Oh, shucks. Too simple. At this point, I don't worry about surviving. I can't die anymore. I already have. Okay. Let it go already. The visions which are beginning now, because now we're in the second stage, are the thought forms caused by the breaking apart of my previous human primate consciousness. And they're only affecting me because I am still under the influence of the organic world. Long repeated exposure to the lower material dimension. So we are now aware of that the effects of the human biological machine are breaking apart. And think of that in your life as you go through your day, that the hold on you of the human biological machine is starting to break apart a bit. Voyager is starting to emerge and come forth. I did a, when Peak Tianan down in L.A., I went to a bunch of meditation workshops with him. And I went to this workshop. It was 3 days long of meditation. And you sit in meditation, you have cross legs and all this stuff, right? You know, after a few hours or so, your knees are ready to explode. And, of course, out of ego, I didn't want to show anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and that lasts for a few minutes. But then you start to develop a different relationship to that, and you develop it as a sensation. Just a sensation. Like, you'll notice, like, if it starts to rain, let's say it's not raining that much, just a little bit. You go outside, people are, your face is all scrunched up, you know, because, like, the water, the rain's up here, and everything, you know, like this. What? It's just drops of water. Allow, and so it's a way of practicing things like this. Allow it to hit your face. See what happens. If you survive.
Well, okay.
And that's how we can go through our day, is under this. Now that we know that we're in the second stage and the body is gone, we're left with our body of habits and the Voyager, and things are going to occur. Okay? What else?
Interesting, too.
I think this is a wonderful experiment because there's like a whole morphic field of us going through this together. There's going to be a tremendous sharing and shifting and transformation because we were all moving as a group through these stages.
Something like a larger electric.
If you can,
I agree.
If you can actually report back your work in this regard, if you say, "Oh, I was practicing this idea of the form being hit by these forms, and here's the event in the storm." When I was talking to my kid or driving a car in traffic, allow you, share those experiences with the group. Here's why.
David, you're breaking up pretty badly.
I'm breaking up. Can you hear me now?
Uh-oh.
It's already happening to me.
It's already happening. The idea, the reason that you share it, because when you share a specific experience, it opens it up for another person. Then they go, oh, right. And they get to grab that experience as part of their Voyager experience as well. That's why we share together. Okay? It helps each of us open up a little bit more. Go ahead, Harry.
Oh, I was just saying that you were breaking up, David. Back in focus now.
I've coalesced again.
Password says, oh yeah, let's go play in the rain and splash in some, in the puddle.
Yeah.
And Lost Rising says, and it's okay if we melt.
and allow yourself to melt from time to time, because then you get to experience what it feels like to melt.
Yeah, and the radiations also, you know, you're going to be...
The radiation...
You're going to be dissolved in if you accept the radiations. Yeah.
They're called cleansing radiations.
Yeah.
For a reason. So that was a very good comment from Tamara, is we're going to go about the day, and when you share it, you're sharing it from the point of view of the voyager. That's solidifying the position of the voyager as opposed to the human biological machine. And it's kind of like a little way of saying, hey, you know, there's a new sheriff in town. Okay? When you share like that. How are we doing?
I agree. Good comment.
I'm glad
Thank
we
you,
had
Tamara.
Some of your comments tonight, David. They were very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Pianjo. I find it spectacular that so many individuals have been doing this for so long, you know, in this particular group.
Yeah, that's one of the other things. When you were talking about the time, I mean, how long have some people been doing these readings from the Book of the Dead?
Decades.
In our group, yeah, in our community, in our circle. You know, I did those readings. I essentially read the whole 49 days. In 1975, when my mother died,
right.
Not a constant reader or a very consistent reader.
But everything builds up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything builds up, Susan says. And you place one penny in the essence bank, okay? One penny. And then another penny. And then you put another penny in the essence bank. Pretty soon, there's something there.
You know, every time I've done the readings for someone, David, it's like it's a new book each time I do it.
And, you know, Harry says it's a new book every time he does it,
mm-hmm.
because you know what? It is a new book. Because
mm-hmm.
we're not the reason... Mm-hmm. When you're in the essential self, you are not bored because you're at that moment of creation. Remember we read that? You're in the moment of creation right then. So when you're reading it for an individual or to a friend or the exercise we're doing with each other now, that's a brand new moment of creation right then.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, there's a wonderful... idea, or just a word that I picked up just from happening to read a few of Milarepa's very enlightening songs, and I came across this a translation of something that translates as preconceptionlessness, and it was in one of the songs of his, and I never forgot that. I think it's an absolutely wonderful concept because, yeah, if you sit down to do the readings for someone, and if you can cultivate preconceptionlessness. It's like you don't have a track record. You know, you weren't a board reader before. You weren't difficult. It wasn't this kind of reading, that kind of reading. It wasn't the book that's this or that or any definition at all. You're just starting in a new moment.
So take the package that we all earned tonight together, okay? Take it and go about your day. Walk now the earth with this in mind. Stand in that set of shoes. Okay? That's
it? You say so, David.
Yeah, I do say so.
He does say so. All right.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see what happens next week.
All right. Good night, all.
Night, all. Thank you.